chapter 12. I want to show something, just one strong thought this morning that will really be of, it's almost like will help people tremendously. All right. In Revelations chapter 12 and verse 11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." So let's take this, all right, for this teaching this morning as three separate entities. In other words, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, which is a personal, what they are testifying to, a confession of God's word is testifying to a truth that you have embraced or that you have seen, affirming something that you believe. So let's say through the blood of the Lamb, by their powerful affirmations of what they believe or testifying to something they had seen in the word of God, and because they love not their lives unto death. We've seen the love not your life unto death is the death, the Bible says he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the nature of the death it speaks about is the death of the cross, which is what Paul said, that I die daily. We that live are always being delivered unto death. So we look at the blood, the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto death. Okay? Now, when we go to 1 John chapter 1, and verse 9, it tells us, 1 John 1 and verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us." So we know we are forgiven. Bible tells us, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the provision of forgiveness of sins." So forgiveness of sins as a provision by the blood of Jesus. Now remember, they overcame him by the word, by the blood and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So we're saying by the blood, all right, through their own personal confessions or testifying to the things that they know about God that he has shown them. All right. So it tells us here that he's faithful and just to forgive. And we know in whom we have redemption through his blood, which is the forgiveness of sin. So this is an activity, all right, or of the blood of Jesus Christ in the life of a person. Okay, it says he forgives us of our sins. And then it says, and to, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Now, what he forgives us is sins. What he cleanses us from is, he used another word, unrighteousness. So you cleanse a person, not only does Jesus forgive, he also cleanses you. And when he cleanses, all right, or cleans out a person, in other words, it's like you making a mistake, and then you ask for forgiveness, but you also recognize that this thing came from somewhere and it needs to be cleaned out. In other words, that trigger within my system has to be removed. So he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So there's forgiveness and cleansing. Now, I'm looking at this in light of spiritual warfare. Let's go to Hebrews chapter. Let us build this up. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It says, verse 22. Let us, from 21, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now, that's the work of the blood, and our bodies washed. Now, this is the cleansing now. So the sprinkling from an evil conscience ridden with guilt is the effect of the blood. But then he says again, the second thing is our bodies washed with pure water. So it talks about two activities here, the forgiveness and the sprinkling of the conscience, and then the cleansing, which is the washing of the body there with water. Now, we've seen in Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to tie this up to the blood and to the word of our testimony. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. It tells us that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we see the washing of water, which means the cleansing through water. The washing of water is by the word of God. So the blood procures forgiveness. The word, all right, brings about cleansing. Now remember, you overcame him by through the blood and the word of your own testimony. Now, so I want to show something here quickly as to God's system here. Quickly here, because it's a 20-minute sermon. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32, it says that, or from verse 31 rather, or let's start from verse 30 then. It says something. For this cause, many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, I won't go into that, all right, because we have to take time to explain that so people don't come under guilt. Now, it says, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, he was saying that, look, there was judgment that was coming in to the church. And he says the reason why this judgment was coming in, that was creating certain things, was because they didn't judge themselves. But he says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So God judges in chastening us. When he judges us, he chastens us so that we don't get condemned with the world. But if we judge ourselves, he won't have to chasten us. That's judge us. All right? So there are three levels here. You judge yourself, that's self-judgment. Or else he will judge you, which is chasten you, so that you don't get condemned with the world. That's be as an outcast or a heathen. So he says the first step is to judge. Now, when a person makes a mistake and confesses their sins and cleanses themselves from it through the word, they are judging themselves. In other words, they are taking responsibility. And therefore, as a spiritual adult, they judge themselves. Say, this is not right. I'm going to judge this thing and get rid of it from my own system, so that I don't get judged by God, which is chastisement. And if you don't respond to chastisement, it says, whereof all are partakers, he said, then are you bastards and not sons. This is New Testament scripture. He says, when you are chastened of the Lord, he says, it is grievous. In other words, when God judges, he says, it's not joyous, but it's grievous. He says, and you should lift up hands unto him and worship him for that. Or else what will have happened is the lame foot gets healed rather than being turned out of the way. So you are out there and you get condemned with the world there. So he judges. But the highest thing he's saying is you can judge your own self. Now, in judging your own self, what you're therefore doing is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, when he says, mortify therefore your members. That's what you are doing. You are judging yourself. You are mortifying your members that are upon the earth. And he speaks about uncleanness, fornication, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked in sometime when you lived in them. So he's saying you once lived in that before you got saved. Now that you're saved, he said, mortify. In other words, put those things to death. Kill them. Now, how are you going to mortify them? You're going to mortify them by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8. And this is when you judge yourself. Verse 13. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. So it's by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body. Now, before Paul said that, he had said in Romans chapter 7, before he said mortify by the Spirit, in Romans 8:13, he had said in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I want to show something. And he had said he was in a struggle, trying to use willpower to overcome things that were almost running as programs within him. So he was failing. And he said, who shall deliver me? Now, later when he discovered the principle, he says, those who through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. He says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He now said, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. So he said, I got it. It's with the mind I get this thing done. Now, what was he saying when he said with the mind? Now, if we look at Matthew chapter 15, we'll see what he's saying here. Matthew 15 and verse 17. He says, or from verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Then he says, murders, adulteries, fornications. In other words, those things start as thoughts. So what they are telling us is the person who judges himself or herself catches those things while they are still thoughts and confesses them as sin while they are still in thought form. In other words, when they entertain the thought, they confess that thought and cleanse themselves from the thought. Because in the New Testament, if we look at Matthew 5 here, this is what he's saying, and verse 28, he's saying, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. In other words, he's saying that it's not the physical action that is there. He's saying that while it's a person conceives it in their mind, it's a thought. And that thing should be, that's when the person should realize this is wrong and judge it at that point and get cleansed from it. That's why Paul said, I myself with my mind. In other words, I mortify the deeds of the flesh when they're in thought form and remove that. It says, I by the Spirit. Now, what does the Spirit use to mortify, to kill? The Bible tells us in Ephesians, hold on to and hold in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So is that word of your testimony or the sword of the Spirit there that he uses and pierces into the dividing asunder, a discerner of thought, and the Spirit kills it while it is in its thought form? For if it translates from that thought form to action, remember James said, a man is tempted when he's enticed, that's thought form, drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. That death there is when it manifests itself as an action. Now, once it gets into that action, God says, all right, I'm going to judge this thing. But when it's in that thought form there, he says, now you, all right, judge it there. So the action there doesn't even, it doesn't get into that place. So he's saying here, all right, that's mortified. In other words, nobody steals without first of all thinking about it. Nobody does something without, first of all, it's a thought. So he's saying, if you judge it with the word and understand like the New Testament that a thought is an action as far as the New Testament is concerned. So while it's in its thought form there, you confess it and use the word there for cleansing at that particular point in time. It says there, it says, then you've done what is called self-judgment and you won't. Now that's when, remember it says, we're going back to something. It says, and they overcame him by. So they overcame Satan. Now, to show you that this thing is warfare, look, that's the warfare there. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says there, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now, remember we started from spiritual warfare, where the mind is the battleground. It says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, it's while it's in his thought form, the spiritual person there, all right, mortifies the deeds of the flesh while it's in his thought form and enhances the deeds of the spirit while it's yet in its thought form. By doing that, then it will never be seen on the outside. This is what he's saying, that this person, all right, is disobeying, which means it won't appear because the person is dealing with the things there while they are in their thought form inside the heart of that person. And that's what he's talking about when he says judgment there and talks about cleansing. So how do you go about this in practice there? In practice, therefore, you are armed with the scriptures that talks about the fact your reconciliation unto God, the fact that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, that all things have passed away, that you're created God. And when the thought comes, you confess that thought to God there, that you sit down and entertain that thought there. You confess it as sin, and then you cleanse yourself of that while it's still in that thought life there. And that's what he's saying here in terms of them overcoming him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, all right, of their testimony. In other words, it's that's why Paul said in Romans 7, there he says, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, you see, the issue was I allowed the thoughts to get to go on in my mind, and the mind, the battlefield there, I lost everything in the mind and tried to use my body, all right, this is what we're saying here, to regulate my actions there while I left, all right, the mind wide open. So he says, I've found out that we mortify by the Spirit the deeds of the flesh. All right. We by the Spirit while it's still in its thought form. And we mortify it and kill it while it's an imagination. Kill it while it's a thought. Or cleanse ourselves completely of that thought, which is to cleanse yourself from unrighteousness there. And you use the word to cleanse yourself so that you don't have to be asking for forgiveness after the action has been done. Because when it's still a thought, you don't have to be, you go straight for it. It's warfare there. That something came into your mind doesn't mean, it means an arrow has been fired. So you cleanse it at that point, or else you're going to now make the mistake. That's a physical mistake there. And then you now confess that sin, and then you still have to go back and start cleansing. But it's almost like, you know, you've allowed your to be dipped into something. To cleanse it will take a little bit more time there. All right. So you're brushing it, you are cleaning it out, you're cleaning it out, you're cleaning it out. So don't go under condemnation or guilt here. Go back into that arena to battle. All right, I've said this, the misconception on the grace message is that people lost the battle because they didn't even fight in the first place. You try to use willpower against something that doesn't respond to willpower. And what now happened was that when people were defeated, then a message comes to tell you that even though you are defeated and you are living in this thing, there's no condemnation to you because you are now in Christ Jesus. But that's not what Paul was teaching. What Paul was teaching was that, look, I've struggled with this. When he said no condemnation, he said, I've struggled with this thing. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So then I, with my mind, I serve, or I love God. And then he says, there is no condemnation. What he said is, there is now no reason to fail when you are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free. That law of Spirit of life is not talking about guilt. It's talking about setting you free from what happened in Romans 7 there. There is now no condemnation, which means the condemnation is no reason to fail because we have gotten this there. So the battle is there. Even circumstances in life, let me tell you, external circumstances, because the scripture says that the tongue has two roles here. It can defile the body. That's poison the body. So when you speak those thoughts, it poisons the body and sets on course, all right, the on fire, the existence, the cycle of that person's life. So the tongue affects that, but it also affects circumstances on the outside. And these circumstances on the outside start as thoughts. Now, if you begin to allow thoughts that the environment has defeated you, then and you allow negativity to gain hold of your mind, there's nothing you're going to ever do with your body, all right, that you can change the course of your life. You have to fight that battle in your mind first. You have to bring